Surge Up. Hey, this is Dave Davidson with the Surge Up podcast, and I have my favorite guest of all time tonight, and we are going to get hot as fire tonight. It's none other than Dan the Man, my brother, Dan Davidson, Dr. Dan, from Anchor Talk. Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on Surge Up, and let's rock out. We got a new idea.
We sure do, Dan. I would have to say, you know, we've been saying for years something is hotter than the 4th of July. Just kind of been like a personal inside joke with us, okay? Today is July 3rd, which I want you to say the historical significance of that in a second. But, Dan, it is hot here in Iowa. It's hotter than the July 4th usually is. And we got a hot idea tonight. Tell us what happened on July 3rd years ago.
Well, there's significance of July 3rd because it was the day before July 4th when the founding fathers, you know, signed the Declaration of Independence. Well, on July 3rd, they came to an important consensus, and that was that they decided to sign it as United Colonies, United States. And up until then, they'd probably been talking about different possibilities. Hey, we could do it individually. Maybe a couple states or colonies could go together here or there. And they decided to be united. So July 3rd is actually a very inspiring day in history that has had consequences and implications for almost 250 years.
Dan, you are describing one of the most amazing pieces of American history. Would it be safe to say the men in that room had burn the boat courage to conquer the impossible? I mean, governments had tried this before. Most successful, yes. Most amazing government of all time, in my humble opinion. And they kind of had an all or nothing outlook. They were already in war. They've been defending themselves against the British. A lot of history there. We kind of know the story. I mean, it kind of sets up the story of the man that was sent there to conquer the gold of the Aztecs, bro. And he had 11 ships. He had 100 sailors and 500 soldiers. And after a while, they didn't think they could conquer these Aztecs. And so there was rumors of some guys maybe taking some ships back where they came from. But you know what, Dan? The leader ordered the boats to be burned, all but one, so they could return 20% of the gold back to the king of, I think it was England. We'll check that on the fact checker. Okay, so that was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Those guys, then in his army, his 600 people, a few had died. They took that leader pretty serious after that, Dan, and there was really no turning back. And that's what we're talking about tonight. It's an idea hotter than ever.
Dave, great review on the story. Burning the ships behind you. There's no turning back. What it did, I think it ramped up and it heightened to the max what I would call the courage quotient of each individual sailor and soldier, because they had no alternative. And what seemed impossible, when you turn it into an all or nothing thing and you no turning back, you gather every bit of courage you have and you boldly go forward. And they ended up being victorious against all odds. And I love your segue into this concept, burn the boat courage, of the founding fathers. And those, they gave up their fortune, they gave up their livelihoods, and they were risking, you know, their lives.
And not only their lives, Dan, but their, everything they had worked for, their entire families, literally their entire lives, their entire generation, everything they've ever stand against, all their morals, all their values. And Dan, that's pretty high stakes. And that's where the burn the boat mentality comes in. And Dan, speaking of mentality, what we're going to try to do tonight is actually put in a blender two of some of the greatest cliches, slogans, anthems we have that we talk about. So one is burn the boats, but Dan, we need to think outside of that, don't we? like an artist yes, would, maybe in the second grade, you know, coloring. What do you think? I'm handing this one to you, bro.
So here. Yeah, thank you for the perfect silver platter setup. And that is that, you know, let's bring this to modern day. We really don't travel or live in ships anymore or in boats, right?
Forrest Gump had that shrimp operation that went really well for him. But other than that,
yes, good
a
point.
Lot of types of shrimp, and he had to really think outside the box to make that much shrimp. Oh, sorry.
Yes, actually, we live in boxes. And, you know, as far as for transportation, we live in a box called a car. There's a box for you.
Box check. But, what are the boxes do we live in?
Well, you know, when we let's break down the concept of, you know, thinking outside the box.
Well, I'm saying there's a house box, there's an office cubicle box, then there's roles we play. So go ahead. I just had to get that in.
Yeah, right. That, right. Exactly. That, well, what I was setting up is there's actual boxes, so to speak. But then when the phrase says think outside the box, it's kind of it's a paradigm. It's status quo. I mean, we're in a box physically, possibly, but also then just mentally and with our mindset. And so here's a box. You grow up, you go to public school, you go to college, you get a job, you retire. Those are just, you know, a stream of boxes. And so we could say sometimes a box can represent our security, our comfort, our safe zone. And that can be good at times. So not all boxes are bad. And some boxes are very important for security. But when it comes to accomplishing things, you get back to those guys up against the Aztecs and our founding fathers. Once they were there at that point in their life, there was no turning back. It wasn't a time for safety and security. It was a time for total risk-taking. And they laid it on the line. You think about a small business owner who mortgages their house and they put everything on the line. Dave, you and I love Shark Tank. And what's inspiring a lot, and many people do, it's a pretty big hit show. What's greatly inspiring are the stories behind the people who, you know, mortgage their homes and borrowed money and you know, just, you know, sleeping, you know, on their, you know, friend's couch just to save money, to put everything into a business or an idea or a concept. And so they're thinking beyond the box. So let's put these together, bro. You got burn the boats, you got think outside the box. What we're saying is we probably have some boxes that we not only need to think outside of, we need to jump outside, look back and say, you know what, we're going to set that box ablaze. I don't want to ever even think about having an excuse to come back or a safety net where I'll have so many doubts that I'll backtrack and backslide. And you know, I just want to go forward. And so the concept is blaze the box and burn up any boxes that's holding you back. It's just cardboard, if it is a cardboard box.
Well, Dan,
a box may be cardboard that can be holding you back. Break out of the box. And so what we're going to share is looking at the different boxes in your life, physical and mindset and metaphorical, and then determining which ones are holding you back. Which ones are you stuck in paradigms? Which ones are you just going with the flow and you're just stuck in status quo? I like that. Going with the flow, stuck in status quo. Which boxes do you need to break out of and then set ablaze?
Yeah, Dan, there's also spiritual and emotional boxes in relationships and situations. And think about a relationship that's moving along, maybe going towards engagement. When you get engaged, okay, that is a sense of blazing a box. It's blazing the box of all the other possible girlfriends or boyfriends a couple could have with one another, other than one another. And so pledges and commitments are a great form of blazing a box up. You know, Dan, I told you the story earlier today that my son, Nathan, was in second grade, and he really wanted to be in the accelerated math group in his second grade class. And so he devised a way. He had a plan. They were going to have this speed quiz with the problems. And he knew if he could get through it, he just knew he could just beat everybody. Okay. And that's what he did. It was a time test for the class. And it was like a multiple choice. So instead of just like neatly writing in the ovals, he just kind of marked it, scribbled it, and moved on to save time. He was thinking outside, literally outside the box or the oval it was in, okay? Knowing that if he just nicked it, he could move on and just save maybe a half a second. And unfortunately, the teacher at the time, who was a great teacher, just missed the boat that day, made an announcement and said, class, use Nathan as an example, this is how we're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to draw inside the box, not scribble. I don't want to see this again. And it totally discouraged my second grade son. Instead of winning and being lauded in a good way of the fastest person to do math, and he also had his answers right, he was made an example of how not to do something because she didn't like his, literally, the lines on his paper. And so he was thinking
that were
outside
in,
the
that
box.
Were outside, that were outside of the box.
Yeah, they were scribble marks just to go on. He didn't take time. He can be neat. He's an artist, but he was trying to go for speed. His creativity at the time, his approach was, I'm going to go for speed, not, you know, this is not handwriting, okay? So the good news of the story is he ended up going ahead two letter grades in math. And he's still a great mathematician to this day. But it's too bad that he didn't have that early support based on a teacher being a very dynamic teacher, being stuck in a paradigm of failing to see what was right in front of her, which was a fantastic execution of the goal. And so, Dan, there are bits in our lives, day in and day out. It might be in a relationship. I was just talking to my spouse, Joan, about a relationship she has with someone in her extended family. And, you know, she was weighing some options on whether or not to contact them. They're getting old, and she was contacted about something. And she had a really mature thing. She was kind of done with this person to a great degree. They weren't at odds, but she thought, well, maybe they need to be encouraged by me. Maybe I need to say something to them just to try to be a blessing. But as far as I'm concerned, I really don't need – I have my peace with them, okay? I just thought that was a great paradigm. She was thinking – outside her comfort zone, and she was willing to be, well, out of a comfort zone to possibly be a blessing to others. So really the litmus, Dan, is this: what has you confined? What's restricting you? What do you want to be a revolutionary about? It could be a protest, it could just be office politics. How could you blaze the box, think outside the lines, and still get a breakthrough to where your courage enhances and heightens, your commitment level reaches an all-time maximum peak of proficiency, and you're more effective than ever? I want to know, because I'm turning 50 this week, and I want to blaze the box, baby.
Okay, so here's an interesting box to consider. How about a matchbox? A small little box. And let's say, you know, you have one of those boxes that represents a certain aspect of your life. Like you said, it could be spiritual, emotional, physical, finances, confidence, you know, just all kind of things, right? A relationship. And so, you know, you kind of slide open the little match box and kind of peer out, and it's just a small little box, but you know, you keep contained in it and you just stay in your little box. Well, there are matches in that box. So the metaphor here is all it takes is one match, have the courage to strike it on the side of that box and set the box itself ablaze. If it's holding you back, if it's know, an obstacle in you accomplishing what you want to accomplish and really what God's design for your life is. So you may, I think, instead of letting someone else set our box on fire, perhaps there's a dynamic concept in realizing which box we may need to get rid of and setting it ablaze on ourselves, by ourselves.
Yeah, you think of the biblical concept and the gardening fundamental of pruning. Okay. Things don't grow well in gardens, in good gardens, good rose bushes, et cetera, without good pruning. And, you know, there's the Bible verse, Dan, in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4, about throwing off encumbrances, running the race before us, okay? I mean, I'm walking a dog right now, but I'm glad I'm not dragging a wagon with an anvil in it with a wobbly wheel or only or no wheels. That would not be, you know, I'd have to burn that or get rid of it. So, I mean, burn is a metaphor for getting rid of it, but not looking back, okay? I mean, when it's time to go back to England, after you defeat the Aztecs, the whole concept with that leader was, we'll use their boats then, okay? That gives us a kind of a treasure. We'll get the gold, and we'll use their boats to go back, even nicer boats, okay? So, yes, starting a business and getting to the level of a Shark Tank pitch, you've already burned boats, and you've already, no doubt, come up with something innovative, some kind of service, some kind of product that is thinking outside the box, okay? And then you've said in the last 24 hours, you said, what box? Like, be so far away from the box. Now, that's a good way to think about things, but there are some boxes we kind of have to follow into. For example, I'd like to be a legal driver in the state of Iowa. So as much as I'd like to just willy-nilly drive all over the country without a license, I have to stay within the box of having a driver, a valid driver's license. So,
good example.
So there are some systems that we have to just kind of use or just go with the flow with, whether it's status quo or not. Okay, but you know, it's just kind of like knowing when is the discernment of knowing when to maybe hold your thunder at a committee meeting, okay, either at a church or an office pitch, and then knowing when to maybe finally give your idea, okay, after you've listened a lot. That's the art of knowing when to blaze the box. When you build a fire, you get it ready. You get the kindling down. You have the right circumstances. You're not going to light a fire right after it rained, okay? Right? And so part of blazing the box is surveying the conditions, setting up the situation. We've all seen some survivor shows, whether fictional or a nonfiction surviving reality TV, where someone has to start a fire from scratch. Sometimes they're wet conditions, whether they use flint or the one match they have. You know, someone's in charge of lighting this fire. And with that fire actually comes a plethora of resources and possibilities. They can now cook food. They can now boil harmful bacteria in water and not get sick. They can now stay warm at night. They can now signal for help from up above. They can now even burn a part of a stick and make a spear, okay? So fire, although it can be completely destructive when it's bridled, it can be a great tool. In fact, it's one of the greatest tools known to man. I mean, you think of the first caveman, and I'll just end with this joke. It's the old Far Side, where these two guys, the Far Side cartoon by Gary Larson, that is, where there's three guys around a campfire, and one guy just holding his dinosaur leg with his hand. And the other guy goes, hey, Gag, look what Zach do. And the third guy had his meat on a stick. Okay, he was thinking outside of burning his arm over the doggone fire. One of my favorite Far Side comics. And so somewhere in there, Dan, someone invented of using a stick on the meat you're cooking. But the first few times, I bet they got their hands burned.
Mm. Yes. Well,
ahead with its capabilities of purifying an idea and moving you on to more innovation. You can quote me on that.
Okay, so here's a little focus on a spiritual walk. There's an old hymn, simple hymn, that's called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And at the end of that chorus, it says, "No turning back, no turning back." So our walk of faith is like that. I mean, we're making a commitment in a spiritual sense. And I'm just kind of thinking and praying about examples in the Bible of how fire is used. And one in the Old Testament is a sin offering. And it was an offering for our sins before Jesus came. So they would take a lamb or a goat, and they would burn it, and the fat of the animal was burned on the altar. It was a burnt offering, okay? So the concept of a burnt offering was in place of our sin. So what God is saying to us spiritually is that I've sent my son, and he is your burnt lamb or your burnt offering, and I am burning up your sins. I'm giving you new life. So there's some great meaning in that, and there's no turning back.
That is a really good insight, Dan. We're going to explore fire more and the history and inspiration of literally burning boats in history. The actual boat burning incident mimics, I'm sure, other parts of history where soldiers went off to war or they went on a voyage over the sea. Or, I mean, think about the Wright brothers. I mean, they may not have been burning the boats, but when they got up in that plane at Kitty Hawk, they were leaving things behind, that's for sure. And it was all or nothing. If they got high enough and it didn't work, they were going to die. And people did die in that innovation process. People who worked for them. There was a man who died when they were discovering flight.
Yes. So when we have a situation that seems impossible, we can't get out of it. We're stuck at work, in a relationship. Finances have mounted up. There's no way we're going to be able to finish this college degree. Where am I going to live? How am I going to make peace with a family member? We're talking about a kind of courage to step forward boldly. It's a burn the boat courage that helps us conquer these obstacles and these what may seem like impossible situations and paradigms. And again, we don't live and travel in many boats, but we're in lots of different boxes. So blaze the box and the boxes that may be holding you back. And don't look back. Moving forward.
Yeah, there's no fall, you know, for Cortez, Dan, and the Spanish conquistador, he beat the odds by commitment. He did not have something to fall back on, okay? You see these guys on Shark Tank, and they're talking about a third job or something. And when they see those sharks smell blood in the water of another hobby, they don't want to back that because they know that there's a fallback, okay? You want to be pushing ahead. And so, focus.
They know they're completely sold out.
Yeah. Definitely.
And Seth Godin wrote a book a few years ago called The Dip. And it was similar to that. He said, commit everything to one thing and don't give up. And carry it through all the way through. You're going to have dips, but you got to stay it through the whole way.
All right, Dan. Well, that's a good first segment for me. If you want to add anything, I'm at a stopping point because I'm going to go build a fire and figure out what I need to burn in my life here as I reflect on the 50th anniversary of being born. I want to enter that time into knowing what to burn, what to focus on.
I love it. And, you know, for me, I'll just share one right now. The box of procrastination. I want to burn it up, Dave. I can get very creative as a creative procrastinator. And we've talked about it. It only takes one excuse to procrastinate about anything. I want to burn up that habit, okay? I don't want to use that as an excuse anymore. So the little procrastination box, yeah, I want to light a match and set it on fire. There you go.
All right. Well, Dan, thanks for being my favorite guest on Surge Up. Appreciate your expertise at the Anchor.fm podcast station, Anchor Talk with Dr. Dan. Be sure, if you need to know about podcasting, to listen and to subscribe to Dan's podcast. Thanks for being part listeners of our book brainstorm. Blaze
the box.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Dave.